This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أولم يرى الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين. وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Final lesson of course of study of Tafsir Surah Yasin. We heard about a story. A man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Quraysh. His name is Ubay ibn Khalaf. Some of the scholars of Tafsir, they differed as to which man it was exactly. Ibn Atiyah believes it was Ubay ibn Khalaf. Others said it was Wa'il ibn al-As. And he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a decaying bone. And he puts it in the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he asks the question, who is going to bring this back to life? And he crushes it so that it begins to turn to ashes. And in one narration, he even blows it in a very obnoxious way in the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he does this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds and says, Allah will bring this back to life as well as you, and then he will enter you into the fire. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said to him. And so they say that Surah Yasin, from verse 77 until the end, is a response to this type of person. Number one, who denies the resurrection. And number two, he's very aggressive in his attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of his religion. And what happens, Surah Yasin brings many rational arguments in order to explain to this arrogant person who's denying the resurrection why it is absolutely the case that Allah has the power and the ability to bring the dead back to life. And these arguments, they will tackle this issue from many different angles. So this verse we covered last time where Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانِ Can man not see that we have created him from a drop? Meaning the drop of fluid that you're born from. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ And yet he is a khasim. The word khasim refers to a person who's not just argumentative, but he argues about the wrong things. You know, some people, they have a habit of arguing with people. They don't care whether they're right or wrong, they just want to argue. Yeah. Allah is saying, this type of person, what is he arguing about? He's arguing about something that there cannot be any doubt about, that Allah has the power to resurrect the dead. Yet he's arguing, khasim means to argue in a bad way about the wrong things. And he's mubeen. At-Tabari said that means that he's not indirect about his arguing. Some people sometimes they say nasty things in an indirect way. Have you ever seen that? Somebody makes a joke in a sly way. You don't know whether he's speaking nicely or whether he's being sarcastic. Some people are indirect in the way they mock others. Allah saying, no, he's mubeen, meaning he's clear and open in the way he argues about God. He's got no qualms about saying the most obnoxious things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be honest, this is the case in our times where we have the militant atheists, for example, the way they speak about God, God's religion. in a way that is very aggressive. Yeah. So this is what happened in the time of the Prophet, and it happens still today. Allah said, doesn't this type of person reflect over how he was created? That once upon a time he was nothing but a lowly fluid, something that you wash off your body, and yet he's arguing about the greatest one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا, that this person, he puts forward mathal. Some said it means he puts forward examples about God. Yeah. Some people, for example, they say, if there really is a God, then why is there poverty in the world? If God really does exist, why doesn't he show himself to us here right now? Did I tell you about the story that happened to me once? Someone said that to me. Did I tell you about the story? In college? No? Well, they have this, I forgot the name of the type of lesson it is, but it's like the form tutor, he takes his lesson, and the idea is to try and speak to you about spiritual things sometimes, and just to start debates and discussion in the classroom. What is that called? What was that? PSHES. They probably changed it now, but it was that type of lesson. And the teacher, I think either he was negligent or he was deliberately trying to provoke the class. He started a discussion about God. Now, bearing in mind that most of the class were Muslims, and there were about three white people in the class. Two of them were like Gothics, you know, the Goth type of people. So he said, let's discuss this about God. Does God really exist and all the rest of it? So this one of the girls, she comes out and she goes, look, if God really does exist, why doesn't he come down to this table right now? Now, when she said that, I got so angry. I said, who are you for God to come down for? And everyone started to like, say, yeah, carry on, egging me on. I mean, in hindsight, it wasn't the best thing to do to get, to become angry like that. But you know, people do this. They say these kind of things about Allah, and they're very aggressive. And you know, my explanation was, look, you're no one for Allah to come down for in the first place. But anyway, that's besides the point. The fact is that the belief in Allah is part of our human nature. It's something that we are born believing in Allah. There's no way of explaining intellectually our origins except that there must be a creator at some point in some way. But besides the intellectual understanding, there is also a spiritual understanding that people have intuitively a belief in God. That is our position. Therefore, God does not need to be proved to be existing. Rather, he exists already, and we know that he does. So anyway, I don't know why I told you that story. But, oh yes, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا. Now people, they put forward examples about God. So Razi said that what they do is they imagine Allah to have the same ability as human beings. And with that analogy, they start to reject things. For example, resurrection. I mean, seriously, if someone is cremated and his ashes, I saw his ashes scattered in the five oceans in the world, you know. Are you telling me that God's going to bring him back to life? Like, seriously. Okay, just pause for a moment. What you're saying is that it's impossible for a human being to collect those ashes and bring them back together and then do something to bring the person back to life. Because it's impossible for a human being, you're saying it's impossible for God? Is that what you're making an analogy there? ضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا. It doesn't make sense. Do you think God has the same ability as man? وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. That's why Allah adds that he does this whilst forgetting his own creation. Like, don't human beings think, where did I come from? I mean, let me just pause the scenario here about questioning God. Let me question my own existence. Where did I come from exactly? I was born to parents, okay, and where did they come from? It goes back to the first human being. And where did he come from? It goes back to the origins of the universe. Now, am I seriously going to believe that 80 million cells lined themselves up perfectly in order to start the Big Bang by themselves? Like, am I seriously going to believe that? I mean, you can put all the terminology you want in there and the veneer of science. But ultimately, what you're telling me is that, you know what? Then something happened by itself and bang, all of this, what we see around us, magically appeared. I mean, you expect me to believe that? وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. Am I going to forget my own origins? So Ibn Atiyah says, نَسِيَ, brothers, how are you doing? You okay? نَسِيَ means to forget. What does it mean he forgot his own creation? He says there's two opinions. The first is that it means that he's become distracted about his own origins. Number two opinion is that he's deliberately ignoring this question. that hang on a minute, where did we come from? Where did I come from? وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. This is the question that Ubay ibn Khalaf asked the Prophet ﷺ. He said, who will bring back these bones whilst they are rameem? The word rameem comes from ramma, which means something is decaying, something is rotting. This is an important part of the argument. Who will bring these bones back to life, wahiya rameem, whilst they are decaying? Now when something decays, what happens to it? What happens to something when it decays? Yeah. Rots away. And what happens when something rots away? Smells okay. Imagine a bone is rotting away. If you came back to that bone after a year, what would you see? Same size or different size?
Yeah, smaller.
Exactly. So what's happening to the rest of it?
Dissolving.
Yes, it's dissolving. Very good, Abdullah. It's dissolving into the ground. It's vanishing. Yeah. So he says, who's going to bring this bone back to life when it is basically turning into dust and vanishing? What is the response to this person? Allah says, first argument, first rational argument. قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ. Listen to this. Say, the Prophet ﷺ is being instructed to respond to the argument of that person. Now what that teaches us is that if we hear someone saying something nasty about Allah, saying something mocking Allah's religion, we cannot be silent. قُلْ, say, respond. Say something to this person which will make him either feel silly for saying that, or perhaps to think, you know what, I was wrong and you're right. Whatever the case, you need to say something. What should you say? يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. The one who will bring it back to life is the one who brought it into existence in the first place. This is the first argument. You think that God cannot bring the dead back to life? Well, let's rewind a little bit. Those dead people, they were alive once upon a time. True or not? Yes, they were. Before they were alive, where were they? Before you were born, where were you?
With Allah.
Okay, but obviously they wouldn't say with Allah. I mean, they deny Allah. So they would have to say we were nothing.
Nice.
We were nothing, right? We were non-existent. Okay, so at one point you came into existence. Now the one who brought you into existence from nothing, is it more difficult to bring you into existence from nothing or to bring you into existence from your bones? Which one is more difficult? The first one, isn't it? To bring you into existence from nothing is far more difficult to resurrect your dead body. So if you deny resurrection, well, what about the fact that you were brought into creation from nothing? So if Allah can do the more difficult thing, why do you deny the more easier thing? Yeah, this is the first rational argument. Interestingly, Allah never said the one who khalaqaha awwala marra, the one who created it the first time. Allah said ansha'a. There's a difference. The word ansha'a means to make something rise. Yeah, and to develop something. The Arabs would call upbringing tanshi'a. The idea of upbringing something is tanshi'a. So Allah Jalla Wala never said he's the one who created you the first time. He said he's the one who created you and developed you into who you are. Yeah, there's an extra meaning there. The one who you deny can resurrect, not only brought you into existence, but he also made you into the man you are today. Yeah, he made you and fashioned you into who you are today. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. And then Allah said, and he is regarding all creation. خَلْقٍ is nakira, common, which makes the meaning more emphatic, as if to say, not kulli al-khalq, all the creation, kulli khalq, every single creation, all of creation, he is what? Alim, all knowing. Allah points towards his knowledge. What does the knowledge of Allah have to do with resurrecting dead bodies? Who can answer this question? Why did Allah tell us about his knowledge in that verse 4? What does it have to do with resurrecting the dead? I asked this question right in the beginning as well. Yes?
Talking about the unseen and something that's going to take place in the future. So
okay.
Beyond human knowledge.
Okay, so it's about a future event that no one knows about. It's true, but Allah said He is about every creation knowledgeable. So it's about the here and now. What does knowledge have to do with it? Yes, Umar, no?
Yeah,
Umar, yes.
Maybe that He can resurrect every single thing in the way that it was already.
Ahsant, very good. You know, Ramim, what did it mean? The bone starts to decay and what happens to it? Disappears. Or you think it disappears. The breakdown of the bones into tiny particles that scatter around and disappear. Who knows about those? Allah knows about them. So Allah's knowledge is an integral part of our belief in the resurrection, because somebody may think, you know what? There is a story about a man actually. He lived a life as a sinner, and then when it came to the time where he's going to die, he started to think about things seriously. As many people do. One foot in the grave, khalas, start to come to the masjid. So he said to his family that, when I die, what should you do with me? Cremate me, yes. And scatter my ashes into the sea. Yeah. Why? Because he genuinely feared that Allah would punish him. That was a very interesting story, because in a way, isn't he denying the ability of God to bring him back to life? He thinks he can scatter his ashes so that he can somehow evade the knowledge of Allah. But what his intention was that, oh Allah, I fear you so much that I don't want you to punish me. Yeah. And it's because of this that the Prophet said this man was entered into paradise. Yeah. So he was ignorant, but he was genuine. Yeah. So people, when they think about, you know, decaying bodies, they immediately think, you know, people are just disintegrating into nothingness, and you're saying that you're going to be brought back to life. It doesn't make sense. Allah says, I know where every piece of you lies. Whether you're in the sea, whether you're in an unmarked grave, or whether you are in the graveyard. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. This is the first rational argument. Now, there's three lessons we learn from these two verses. Number one, our origins should humble us. When you think about what Allah said, that who were you once upon a time? You were just a nutfa. A nutfa means that lowly fluid that you are born from. This is our origins. When you think about this, a man should humble himself and not, you know, not become arrogant in your character. Remember where you came from. Number two lesson is proof of resurrection is inside of us. Allah said, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. This person, he's forgot his own creation. If you were to think about how Allah created you from nothing, you would not doubt being resurrected. Therefore, a proof of resurrection is inside your own self. When you look in the mirror, in fact, if you were to reflect, you are seeing a proof about your own resurrection. SubhanAllah. Thirdly, a lesson in da'wah. Be humble, but be smart. Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to give a response. Isn't that true? So what does that mean? It means that if you hear someone saying something bad about Islam, not about you, not about saying, listen, you're a very fat person, or listen, you're smelly, or whatever. This is a personal insult. We're not talking about this. You have the choice. You want to put someone straight? You can. If you want to turn the other cheek, you can. But if someone makes a mockery out of Allah's religion, then you have a choice to say, you know what? You know, it's up to you. You want to, you know, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. You know, it's up to you. You want to insult Islam. It's no skin off my nose. No, you cannot. You have to respond. Yeah, you have to pluck up the courage and the words to respond in a wise, articulate way. قُلْ يُحْيِهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Say that the one who will bring it back to life is the one who created and raised it initially. So in da'wah, be humble but be smart. I remember once when the cartoon fiasco about the Prophet ﷺ was taking place, somebody said on an interview that, you know what, why can't you forgive Charlie Hebdo for making those cartoons about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? Why can't you forgive? Yeah. Now, I thought to myself, what a ridiculous question. How can you forgive someone for wronging another person? How can you do that? I mean, if someone came up to you and sitting next to you was your friend, or just somebody you don't even know, and they slapped him across the face, you became offended, so did that person. And then the person turns to you and says, forgive me. You say, bro, you just slapped this person over there, you're asking me to forgive you for. Isn't it? This is nonsensical. You insulted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want me to forgive you on his behalf? Who am I to forgive you on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. In fact, I love this man. Whoever offends him has offended me. Clear and simple. Yeah. So anyway, be humble but be smart. The second argument, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا. This is very interesting. Second argument is, the one who will bring the dead back to life, or this decaying bone, is the one who made for you مِنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ, from literally the green tree. Here the scholars say he is not referring to a green tree, like some magical, mystical green tree out there. It's referring to a tree that is full of life, vibrant, beaming with life, not like a withering away tree. Yeah. So Allah said, the one who made for you the tree, which when it is vibrant and green, you are able to make nar from it, fire from it. فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. You can use that tree that is green and vibrant to make fire. فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. And thereby you can kindle a flame. What does that mean? It means that, just take a moment and step back here. You can create fire which is hot and dry from something that is wet, something that is moist, and what is the opposite of the two I mentioned? Something that is moist and cold. Something that is moist and cold, you can use it to make something that is
dry
and hot. These are opposites, aren't they? These are total opposites. But Allah is saying, don't you reflect? Some scholars said this is referring to the idea that human beings, they can take a tree, cut it down, and make it into a source of fuel for fire. Once upon a time, it was something that was green with water inside of it. And now you can use it to make fire. That is something amazing. Other scholars said, no, this is the actual trees in Arabia at that time, which are known as Al-Afar and Al-Markh. Two vibrant trees, green trees, the Arabs could cut their branches and there and then rub them together and make a fire. Literally, you don't have to have any drying process. Take the tree branches and you can make fire immediately with it. And that in and of itself is something which, listen to this, bewilders the mind, isn't it? It bewilders the mind that you can take these opposite things and make them together. Like, how? The question is, how? Even though the question is, how, is it reality? Can you do it? Can you see it? Yes, it's a reality. So what is the message here? The message is as follows. Something that can bewilder you should not be thought of as impossible. Now, when you think about resurrection, you think to yourself, how many billion human beings are going to be resurrected? Trillions. After how many millions of years? Thousands of years. Is that really possible? I can't even imagine it. How will it happen? Yeah, even though it bewilders your mind, do not say, because I can't imagine it, it is not possible. Just like you can't really imagine two opposites being brought together like this to make fire, but it does happen. It does happen. You know it happens. In the same way, don't be like this about resurrection. I'll give you another example. Imagine you went in a time machine back 1,000 years to the deserts of Arabia. And you're going to explain to the person that, you know what, I was just sitting in a gathering learning about the Quran, and people on the other side of the world could also watch it and hear it whilst it was actually happening via Facebook Live. Yeah. Now, tell me, would that person believe you? He would say, well, as in we are talking right now and someone on the other side of the world can hear and see us talking right now. Is that what you're saying? Come on, man. Don't take me for a mug, bro. Yeah. That's what he would say. This is bewilders the mind. But is it real? Yes, it is real. Yeah, this is the idea. Don't get confused, human beings. Something can bewilder your mind, but don't say it doesn't exist. Allah can do it. Allah shows you signs in the green tree. Verse number 81, second last verse of Surah Yasin. Take note here, my brothers and sisters. Surah Yasin began by speaking about resurrection, and it is ending by speaking about resurrection. Allah said in the beginning of Surah Yasin, verse number 12, Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharu. Allah said, We bring the dead back to life, and we are writing down what they put forward and what they leave behind. In the same way, Surah Yasin is ending by speaking about resurrection. Beautiful. The way Surah Yasin, it reviews itself and concludes itself. So Allah says in verse number 81, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Is he who created the heavens and the earth not able to create the likes of these people? Of course he is. He is the all-knowing. He is the all-knowing creator. What number rational argument is this now? Three. Yes, very good. Third rational argument is as follows. Allah says, isn't the one who did this capable of this? Yeah, this is how the argument goes. I.e., if God is capable of this, then he is capable of this. This is how the argument works. Now, I don't know what the name of this is in logic. This type of argument, there's a terminology for it. In Arabic, they say, min babil awla. Min babil awla, as if to say, if this is possible, then for sure this is possible. Yeah. Does anyone know in logic what they term this type of argument? Anyway, search, inshallah, you'll find it. This is that type of argument. So what is it that Allah says he can do, which makes it much more easier to do the following, is he created the skies and the earth. Because Allah created the skies and the earth, it means that he's qadir, totally capable of bringing the dead back to life. Now think about this. Allah says another place in the Quran, isn't the creation of the skies and the earth akbar, greater than the creation of human beings? Isn't it? If you think about it, think about the size of the planets in the solar system. Think about the size of the planets in the universe. Think about the number of planets in the universe. Some say that there are 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. 200 billion galaxies. And around 10%. They said 10%. Of each 10% of all stars have planets. So you got planets, you got your stars, then you got your solar systems, then you got your galaxies. Following me? Yeah. So they do an equation. If there are 200 billion galaxies in the universe, how many planets must there be? They estimate a total of 2 × 10⁻²⁸ planets. That's the number of 2 with 28 zeros coming after it. That's how many planets they think there is in existence right now. SubhanAllah. Allah says, the one who made all of that, isn't he capable of doing something like this? It makes so much sense when you look at it like that, isn't it? When you think about the gigantic nature of these entities, their complex existence, their sheer number, all of these things, it makes us feel very insignificant in the light of the universe, isn't it? So this is the argument. He is biqadir, the ba they said of za'ida, meaning he is totally capable, ala an yakhluqa mithlahum, to create the likes of them. Bala. So what is the answer to this question, which is a rhetorical question? Isn't he capable if he did this? The answer is bala, for sure, O Allah. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. And once again, his knowledge is brought. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ. The word خَالِق means creator. The word خَلَّاقُ is hyperbole. It is the more intense spelling, as if to say he is the creator of so many things. Yeah, he's not just a creator, he's a creator of so many things. The volume of his creation is just magnificent. And he is with all of those, the volume of things he has created, alim. It's two opposites being brought together. You know when you have many things in your possession, You know, like some kids, they have so many toys. They like find one toy. I didn't know I had that toy. Wow. Yeah, you had that toy just 1 week ago. Because I got you 10 other toys after that, you forgot about the first one. Allah is saying, I made so many things. And I'm making so many things. But with each thing, I know it exists. I know how it exists. I know where it exists. وَهُوَ بَلَا هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Second last verse. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. This is beautiful. After those three rational arguments, a summary is brought. The summary is, when he wills something to be, he says, be, and it is. This is the summary. And he, as if Allah is saying, do you really need me to take you through these arguments? Do you really need things to be explained to you in this way? When the at the end of the day, what is this all about? It is about the one who, when he wants something to happen, all he has to say is the word, what? Kun fayakun, and it is. Al-Qatada, he would say in Arabic, there is no word to express ease greater than the word kun. You can't imagine a word where you want to express ease which does it better than the word kun. As if Allah is saying, you know how easy it is for me to make things happen? It is like me having to say kun. That's all it is. Effortless. It is effortless for Allah to do whatever He wants. Innama amruhu. The word innama brings a meaning of only. It is only the following. That's what it is. It is only that when Allah wants something to happen, and when He said something, He used the word shay'an, which is nakira, common, which gives a meaning of diversity. Whatever He wants, big or small, whatever it is, all He has to do is say kun. And when He does, fayakun, it is. And that also has the meaning of, look, Allah, when He creates, when He wants something to happen, He doesn't need helpers. He doesn't need a factory. He doesn't need raw materials. He doesn't need to take time to make something. If He wants to, He can, but He doesn't need to. All He has to do is say, kun fayakun, and it is. Unlike people, when people need to make something big happen, they need to put a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of resources. The exact opposite is the case for Allah. Whether He wants something big or small, He doesn't need to take any time, no effort, and no resources. Allahu Akbar. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And so the last verse, subhanAllah. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Allah said, so glory be to Him in whose hand lies control over all things. It is to Him that you will all be brought back. Allahu Akbar. Look at the way this finishes. The word, the letter fa in fa subhana. Ibn Ashur said this is the fa of fasiha, which means the fa of elaboration. He said, the fa is as if Allah is saying, now the culmination of everything you've just heard, the arguments, illustrating the power of God, illustrating the foolishness of thinking He can't do something, should bring you to a point where you say, you know what, subhanAllah. That is what the last part of Surah Yasin should do to the heart of a person who's reading it. Make them feel in awe of Allah. Make them feel like saying subhan. Subhan means, oh Allah, you are free of any flaws. You are flawless. You are perfect. فَسُبْحَانْ أَلَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Subhan, you are flawless. The one who has the whole kingdom in His hand. But the way Allah said the whole kingdom in His hand, He made it more emphatic in three ways. First, Allah said, بِيَدِهِ, the ba. The ba here is for masahaba, which is to say something is in your company and presence. It is right there. What is right there in the hand of Allah? Malakut, the kingdom of the whole universe. Everything that exists, Allah is saying, it is بِيَدِهِ, it is right there in His hand. By saying it is in His hand, it adds more power. Because you know when someone says, you know, I have something here right in my hand. It's right there. It expresses control, doesn't it? Right in my hand. Allah never said, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah said, بِيَدِهِ. It is right in His hand, which expresses more power. And the third way is by using the word malakut. This is a unique, strange word. It is not common. The common word is mulk. Mulk means dominion. Malakut is the hyperbole. It is the more intense spelling. And it means the universe in its totality. Every part of the universe, everything that exists, all of it in its entirety is right there in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And the last words are, and it is to Him that you will all be going back to. Who said وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ before in Surah Yasin? Who said to people, you are going to go back to Allah? Yes, Ali. Ahsant, very good, the believing man. He came to his people and he said, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ He said to his people, listen, who should I worship other than the one who created me and the one who you're all going back to? What did they do to him? They killed him. They silenced him. They tried to silence the meaning and the message that we're going to go back to Allah. But Allah took those words and placed them at the end of Surah Yasin to make that message eternal and permanent. People try to silence others who call them to the hereafter. Allah said, you try to silence them, but I am making that message eternal now. I am making that message permanent. You cannot silence the Quran. The Quran will remain with this message until Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And this is how Surah Yasin ends. And it is also how our course ends as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our meager efforts in trying to explain His miraculous words and to make it heavy on our scales of Yawm al-Qiyamah. We also ask Allah to allow us to live by the teachings of Surah Yasin that we have learnt and also to help us to share it with those that are around us as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and accept the work that we have done. Make it sincere for His sake alone. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيكم I think now inshallah we'll be serving food for everyone please stay with us and enjoy some food with us any questions anybody wanted to ask anyone have any questions yes yes of course
when we speak about the hands of Allah we mean that authority
mm-hmm.